offensive to the Lord and has some kind of a judgment against God as if he's not handling your life the way that it ought to be. You let that bitterness creep in and grow up like a stubborn weed. Or it might be gluttony, it might be lying, it might be those sexual sins, those things that hinder your fellowship with the Lord. Would you look with me real quickly, kind of hold your place there, Song of Solomon. It's right after you got Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Some sins are not like weeds. Some sins are like little foxes. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. They behave differently. Some sins, they sort of come on you and come onto your property. It's not like a weed that's there because of neglect and you didn't pull it out. And then you let it go and it gets out of control. But some of them are like little foxes. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says here, take us, verse number 15 of chapter 2, take us the foxes, the little. Notice how they're described, the little foxes. Now we've seen some foxes running around here, haven't we? The red foxes, I love spotting those things. I've seen them really often around here. Those little foxes go scurrying across there, and before you know it, you'll miss them. So when I see them moving, I try to slow down. I really want to watch them. And I'm just kind of fascinated with them. But they're just right across the road or whatever, or climb back up in the bank or back into the grass. You miss them. Those little foxes, they're subtle. They're sneaky. They're good at staying hidden. That's why I don't see them very often. Those little foxes, he says, take us, capture them. Capture them. The little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You can turn back to Proverbs. In other words, those little foxes, they spoil the vines of your vineyard when your grapes are tender. They're not ready to be harvested. They're still small and still bitter. And they say that the foxes like to eat those grapes. They don't eat the vine or the flowers on the vine. They eat the grapes. And they spoil the harvest. What had happened? I don't know. Maybe the wall was broken down. He wasn't watching his vineyard. He let the foxes jump the wall, get in there, and the little foxes were spoiling the vine. Sometimes in our life, we have little sins that we think, oh, it's no big deal. Just a little lie, you know? We got little sins, and they're like these little foxes. They're subtle. They come on us. It might be that we watch somebody do something or get something that we feel that we should have gotten, and just that little subtle sin of envy starts working its way into our vineyard, into our heart. It might be in the home, and we see just the little fox working his way in there, just this little sin, just something little. Like maybe as a family, we decide that we're gonna kind of ease up on our restrictions, on our entertainment. And so we're going to watch shows that allow our kids to see things that we've been trying to protect them from. And just these little foxes, just this little image of nudity. It's just there for a second. It wasn't a big deal. Just this little image of somebody cozying up at a bar, you know, and ordering a whiskey. Just this little image of somebody being envious, or somebody being full of pride, or somebody being glorified because of their sin. Somebody being glorified because they're popular or they're famous. And kids get the idea that this is the good stuff in life, is to become like famous and have fans and all of these kind of things, or to live a life that is ungodly, to live a life that is foolish. And just these little subtle sins get in. I don't know about you, brothers. I don't know about you. But sometimes I get on my phone and I pull that out and I'm like looking at, oh, I don't know, YouTube, or looking at, some of these apps. Even my email app will have advertisements. And I'm thinking to myself, what's that advertisement doing there? And what is this whorish woman doing on my email feed? And they'll just show you a little picture. Are you lonely? I think to myself, I'm not lonely. And why do I pay $200 a month for an overpriced phone to be tempted out of nowhere like that, when I spend so much time trying to protect myself from those little foxes that spoil the fine. And they're out there. And men, you know how it is. Just that little thing can get into your mind, that little imagination. And you're supposed to cast down every imagination. And you open up this thing and you're tempted with all kinds of stuff. I'm starting to get more and more sensitive about it. I kind of eased up a little bit on some of the movies that I was watching. And you can really see it. I'm going to move on. But you can really see it with children. You can really see the difference in their behavior, like right now. And you know how it is. When you let your kids go around other kids, they start to act like them a little bit, don't they? Those can be subtle sins right there. And you're influenced by it. But guess what? It's not just kids. It's adults too. You get around somebody and that little subtle sin, that little subtle sin of murmuring and griping and complaining. You don't think that's a big deal? God will make you walk around in the wilderness for 40 years for that kind of stuff. He'll say, one more time around the mountain till you learn your lesson. You ain't learned your lesson yet. All right, take another lap around the mountain. Huh? Till you get that murmuring under control. You know, there's little sins, there's little foxes that spoil the vine, but I'll move on. Each day, with every choice that we make, we're building our character one choice at a time. And if you let go your Bible reading just one day, the next day it gets a little bit easier to let go of it. And then the next day, you say, well, I blew it now. I don't think I can catch up. I'm going to need a good hour, an hour and a half to get caught up. I blew it now. And then the next day goes by and you think, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to catch up. And then you get discouraged and then you quit. You see? You gotta take care of your vineyard, the vineyard of your heart, the vineyard of your home, and the vineyard of our community. We can let our community go spiritually. All we have to do is let the church go. And then we get cold and we stop thinking about souls. Secondly, we see Solomon's interpretation. He said, I went by the field of the slothful. And then in verse number 32, he says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. He said, I looked upon it and I received instruction. Solomon had an interpretation from it. He studied it and he started to understand what was going on. Solomon observed that this was a wasted life. And this was property that had gone to waste. Somebody said that a wasted life is nothing more than a collection of wasted days. A collection of wasted days. And we say, I don't have time to take care of my vineyard in my heart. We say, well, I don't have time to do that this week. You know, and we all talk like that, don't we? Somebody asks you to do something, I don't have time for that. God says, I want to spend some time with you every day. And we don't say it out loud, but by our actions, we say, I don't have time for you. You know what? We all have time. We all have the same amount of time. 24/7, right? You got 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. You have 365 days in a year. We all have time. You can't make time. You say, well, I'll make time to do it. You can't make time. God only gives you so much, and you're spending it every day, every minute. You have to take time for the Lord, just like we have to take time for the people that mean the most to us. And I've been waiting for a chance to fit this illustration in, and I found a place. It won't mean much to the message, but I want to tell it anyways. Somebody wanted me to come over their house to test a zip line at their house, because I came up with the brilliant idea, you ought to put a zip line up right over that pond. It's perfect. Your property is perfect for it. And you got a tree on that side, you got a tree on that side, I'd put a zip line up there. And I was just kind of joking around. He's like, okay. So he went and he bought the wire. And he strung that thing up and gave me a call the other day. He's like, I got it up. You want to come test it out? And I was thinking to myself, I'm way too busy. Way too busy for that. And I said, I don't know. I'll come out there and look at it. And then I'll tell you whether or not I'll go down that zip line or not. And he said, well, you came up with the idea and I can't swim. So the idea was, That's what he said. Get on the zip line, come off the hill on one side, and go down the zip line, and then when you come over the pond, you just drop off. That way you don't have to have a bumper on the other side to stop it. So I got out there, and he'd run a couple of weights across it already, and he had about 260 pounds on there. So it was good to go, and I got on that zip line and took off, you know, and then it slowed down, and I dropped off in the pond, and we fixed it a couple of times. And then finally just zipped right down there, and it worked real good. And he said he had a lot of fun with his friends during his daughter's birthday party. But you know what that was? That was just time spent with somebody to just create a little bit more of a relationship. Right? You know, and I'm nobody and I'm nothing, but God put him in my life for some reason, so I've got to spend some time with him. And I tend to be kind of like a hermit. I tend to kind of keep myself closed in, but you got to make time for things that matter. Who knows what God wants to do in that family? Who knows that their kids might get saved? So we ought to make time, we ought to take time for the things that really matter. This is a lesson from Solomon. As he makes this observation, he says, I studied it and I received instruction. What was the instruction? This man didn't handle his time very well. He didn't handle it like he should have. So finally, we have Solomon's application. Verse number 33, he said, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He said, just a little bit of sleep. He had observed something about this guy, and he had an interpretation on it. He understood the situation, and now he makes an application. He said, this man's so lazy, he won't get out to clean up his weeds in his field. He won't fix the wall that was broken down, and he's so lazy, he won't get out of bed in the morning. He's sleeping in. He's burning daylight. He's got his eyelids closed. And he's letting the better part of the day go. He won't get up out of bed to go to work. So a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And when I was in PBI, and forgive me for talking so much about myself, I just didn't have time to look up illustrations, and this is just what came to me. But when I was in PBI, my Pensacola Bible Institute, I went to work during the day, and my boss was good to me. It was construction, and normally you don't work just 40 hours a week in construction, but he's good to me, and he'd only work me 40 hours a week because he knew I had a lot of work to do once I got done there. But I was down there and hanging drywall, and then after the housing bubble burst, then I was doing reconstruction and remodeling jobs and finishing and all that stuff. And I remember on lunch, I'd be so tired. Working out there on the beaches, working in those beach houses in the heat and everything else. I mean, it's just tiring. And I was working, doing a job. Like when I first got down there, I didn't even know how to swing a hammer. And they'd laugh at me and they'd be like, hit it with your purse, Westover. You know, you don't even know how to swing a hammer. Got to help that guy out. But I'd be so tired. And that first year, man, that was rough on me. And I'd be sitting on lunch and I'd be taking a break. And I'd be sitting there like this. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you what happened. I'd be sitting there like this, I'm about ready to fall asleep, and the Lord would say, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And the Lord was saying, you know what you should be doing right now on your lunch break? You should be studying those Greek words, because you know you're challenged in the area of languages. So Lord, tell me, you better get up and start studying. You better start memorizing those verses you got to memorize. You got a test coming up tonight. And then I'd get to school at night, and I'd be sitting in there, and I'd be writing my notes, and you'd have 3 or 4 hours of class Monday through Friday. Most nights that first week, that first year. And I'd be writing notes in there and I'd be falling asleep. I'd be loving it. I mean, it's just, I was hearing all this stuff for the first time, just loving it, taking it all in. And I'd fall asleep and I got places in my notebooks where I'd just writing all over the place, just doodling all over the place. Fell asleep writing. And I'd be so tired. And then on Saturday, I'd have 4 hours of English because I was so terrible with English. And Mrs. Meacham was in there, and she was old school, man. She had you diagramming sentences and all this stuff. I mean, I was tired. But the Lord said, it's not time to sleep now. It's time to do something. It's time to get something done. And for us, it's not time to sleep on God. We have too many sleepy Christians these days. Solomon also said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn a lesson from the ant. He works when it's time to work, right? So that in the winter, he can enjoy his harvest. You might be in the springtime of your life, like a certain boy I know. You might be in the summer of your life. You might be in the fall of your life. But wintertime is coming. If the Lord doesn't come back, wintertime is coming. And in the winter, you're not going to be able to do all the things that you used to want to do. And you might want to do them now, and you can't. And the best ministry that you have in your winter years is prayer anyhow. But what I'm saying is wintertime's coming. We need to be loading up the barn with the harvest. One day we're going to go and stand before the Lord in judgment, as I keep trying to remind myself and all of you. And he's going to want to know about our works. 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, the churches were written to, and 7 times the Lord says, I know thy works, I know thy works, I know thy works. Judgment seat of Christ, your works are going to be tried, of what sort they are. This is the time to work. This is the time to work and not to be asleep spiritually. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says this. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. I speak this to your shame. That's a wake-up call. Wake up! Let's wake up from our spiritual dullness. Let's wake up and the sleepiness that has come over us. And let's wake up and be wide-eyed. And ready to serve the Lord and do whatever he would have you to do. Because the Lord says it's to your shame and it's to my shame if they have not the knowledge of God. Who is it? Who is it that the Lord has been telling you? I want you to go see that person. Because if you're like me, you know, there's people that God's been telling me, I want you to go see him. And I've been a little bit too relaxed about that. Who is it that God says there's somebody that you can influence? There's people already in your life. They're already placed there by God and by his providence. And they just need to see you wake up. Right? They need to see you wake up. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. He says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. And I want as an armed man, I don't want to see us standing before Christ at the judgment and be poor. All of our works being combustible and burned up. I want to have our song leader come ahead and he'll lead us in a song of invitation. But as our heads are bowed, let's just talk with the Lord for a minute. What would God have you to do? What did he speak to you about? Is there something in your life maybe that you've let go of? That you've neglected? Are there weeds in your life that need to be pulled up? Have you let go of your daily devotions? Do you feel like maybe you're distracted with too much of the material things in this life? You feel like there's too much clutter and you kind of need to clean house a little bit? Just too much going on and neglecting the things that are really important, neglecting the people that are so important. I don't know what God spoke to your heart about. I know what he spoke to my heart about. But I just want you to just pray to the Lord right now and just say, Lord, forgive me for being asleep on you if I've been asleep. Forgive me for letting things go and being distracted by things that are not as important. Lord, forgive me for not doing that thing that you asked me to do. And I know you wanted me to do it, and I still haven't done it. Forgive me for not going and talking to that person you want me to talk to, or not praying. Lord, forgive me for not looking forward to seeing you every day and in our time of communion and looking into your word and letting you speak to my soul and talking to you in prayer, and forgive me for letting that go. Whatever it might be, let's just do business with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you'd bless and have your way in this invitation. But Lord, I pray that this message would go with us. Help us to remember it. Help us to remember Mr. Slothful. Help us to remember the little foxes. Lord, help us to remember the ant. And Lord, I just pray that you would just take our lives, clean them up, and make them what they ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What's our 505?